When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
If you're a firearms enthusiast like I am, or you have one in your life, let me tell you about the industry's best-kept secret, Bear Creek Arsenal. This is a veteran-owned and operated gun manufacturer, Bear Creek Arsenal, that is, based in Sanford, North Carolina. They make high-quality firearms at an incredible value. Learn more about Bear Creek Arsenal at BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. Use promo code BUCK to get 10% off your first order. One more time, BearCreekArsenal.com/buck and promo code BUCK to get 10% off your first order.
Clay and Buck Show, hour two, going strong as always. Thanks for hanging out with us. We do very much appreciate it. We have a whole bunch of things to get to, and I just realized we got great guests joining us during the show. In just a little bit, our friend Carol Markowitz, who is the fierce mom defender of children from masking and vaccing, and she is one of my favorites from here in New York City during the pandemic, who is saying this is crazy, stop the madness. Talk to her about that, also the crime issue. I really think more people need to be seeing this story. We won't get into it too much in detail now, but Clay, I know you and I have talked about it offline. This lovely young woman sitting in her car riddled with bullets in Baton Rouge,
senior at LSU,
Louisiana, senior at LSU, just murdered, and the car was shot many, many, many times. The police are completely at a loss for what could have been going on here. Locals are reportedly saying they think it was a gang initiation, which certainly seems plausible. And law enforcement in Louisiana in general right now is understaffed, undermanned, under-resourced, and under-supported politically. New Orleans is the highest, we just talked about this, highest murder rate in the nation, which is, it's just terrible. I mean, it's terrible when any place has fallen into that category. But I know you feel the same way, Clay. New Orleans is an amazing place. It's a beautiful, historically super rich, culturally amazing city. I mean, even as a New Yorker, I just think New Orleans is such a cool place, and the fact that it's had the crime situation. Anyway, we'll talk to Carol about some of that here in a moment. And then in the final hour of the program, Clay, Brian Morgenstern will be with us. He is the former White House deputy press secretary. So he was the deputy under our friend Kayleigh McEnany at the White House under Trump. Brian's a very sharp guy, and he's got some stuff to tell everybody about what Fauci was saying in the White House behind closed doors. This will not come as a shock to this audience, but Fauci's a huge fraud.
Yep.
He even mocked the stupidity of some of the policies that he would then go out and tell people make sense and everything. He is an egomaniac. He is the world's most evil, narcissistic smurf. I mean, all of that is true. Brian will give us a little bit of a peek behind White House closed doors on that one. But you and I both, with the history fights, they think they can control the past and therefore control the present, or rather control the narrative of the past and use it to dictate the politics of this moment. Huge example of this is obviously the 1619 Project to come up with what is essentially a new founding and framework of this country, rooted in, you know, the evils and oppression of America. And the only way to deal with this today is to put the people in charge now who believe in the narrative of America as a fundamentally rotten, evil, awful place. Did you see also the polling, by the way, about Democrats that I'm trying to remember what the exact, less than half of Democrats are proud to be Americans.
I mean, and the other scary part was in the wake of Ukraine, if you remember, Buck, what percentage of Democrats would actually stay and defend the country if it was invaded? Over half of Democrats would leave. This is a stunning poll result. Again, if America were invaded, would you stay and fight or flee? Over half of Democrats would flee. And the reason for this era of Democrats is because they believe America is a rotten, awful place. Now, most of these people have never actually gone anywhere else, right? This is one of the advantages. If we had some sort of Peace Corps requirement or even service requirement in this country for 18 and 19-year-olds, if you had to go to some third world countries and see what it's actually like there, then you might come back to America and say, hey, you know, it ain't perfect, but we're getting an awful lot right. Unfortunately, most of these people have no clue what the rest of the world is like at all. And so they sit around on their phones denigrating America with no understanding or comprehension of larger world affairs.
My advice always to young people, as somebody who got sent for work to a number of places that were conflict zones, I mean, two war zones and other places where there were active insurgencies and major counterterrorism operations underway because of Al-Qaeda and these different jihadist entities. I mean, I spent my 20s basically in that world dealing with that. You go to other places and you come back to America and you want to kiss the ground that this country was built on. You love, which is why so many people that also come back and have done military service also have just a feeling for this country is incredible. I mean, it really, and they went to fight because they know it's incredible, and they come back and I think have a recognition. I mean, talk to any vet who spent a lot of time in Iraq or Afghanistan. You come back to America, you're just like, this place is phenomenal. Anyway, we bring all this up because, you know, and also we can hold in our heads two thoughts at the same time. America is the greatest country that has ever existed. It's also got some problems that we should address, and the libs want to destroy it. I mean, these are two things or two areas where you could think about at the same time. But fighting over history is not just an intellectual exercise. It's important. And making sure that we have a history that is in the proper context and people understand who did what and when and how we got to this place we're currently in. Someone who has not read, I can assure you, anything substantial about the history of America is Mr. Don Lemon. The new morning, big promotion, you hear this? Big promotion.
Big promotion.
To the morning show over at CNN. He was talking to the royal commentator, Hillary Fordwich. Is she on your speed dial, by the way, Clay? Do you and Hillary chat about the royals?
Hillary and I text all the time at the latest drama. Buck, I was clicking to see what the lip readers were saying about all the different royal interactions during the ceremony for Queen Elizabeth.
I got something I got to admit. I mean, I told her I was going to because I looked at her last night. I said, you know, et tu, Carrie?
She all in? Your fiance?
She's like, look, I got to agree with Clay. The royal intrigue is fascinating. I was like, no.
10 million people watched the funeral yesterday, which is basically unheard of. Like, more people, I think, watched the funeral than watched the Oscars, to kind of put in context. And the people talk about the Oscars a lot. And this was the 10th day. I'll even be honest with you. This thing didn't seem like it was ever going to end. And so, yeah, Carrie's like most, most people out there.
Care Bear is apparently she's on Team Clay on this one. She's like, I think it's fascinating, the intrigue, the drama, the pageantry. And anyway,
she's right.
Bringing it right into my house. I can't believe it. But anyway, the royal commentator, Hillary Fordwich, when Don Lemon said that the Brits effectively should pay reparations, here is her, I think, on a part of, we have two pieces
we
of this
play
exchange.
The whole thing,
let's start. We're
going to
play
amazing.
The whole thing. Start with it. Go.
All of this wealth, and you hear about it, comes as England is facing rising costs of living, a living crisis, austerity budget cuts, and so on. And then you have those who are asking for reparations for colonialism, and they're wondering, you know, $100 billion, $24 billion here and there, $500 million there. Some people want to be paid back, and members of the public are wondering, why are we suffering when you are you know, you have all of this vast wealth. Those are legitimate concerns.
Now, I know you and I are both, like, prize fighters who want to get in the ring on this right away because there's so much there. Like, who gets the money? What's enough money? Who pays for it? What if, like, you have two ethnicities, you know, you have one parent from the UK.
You get what percentage and one, are going to have a blood, blood analysis? Also, how about the fact that lots of people are immigrants who arrived who might be black post-slavery, right? So you are, let's say you're a Nigerian immigrant who's only been here for 20 years. Why would you get reparations for American-related interest? And the large picture here, which no one ever discusses, and I hope we can start to inject this into the discourse at least as every time this comes up, America only had slavery, the United States of America, for 80 years, okay? We, from 1783 to 1863, only 80 years, but this is the British response.
So the Brits have their own history with this, and what she said in response to Don Lemon, the royal commentator, dropping some truth bombs here.
I think you're right about reparations in terms of if people want it, though, what they need to do is you always need to go back to the beginning of a supply chain. Where was the beginning of the supply chain? That was in Africa, and when that crossed the entire world, when the slavery was taking place, which was the first nation in the world that abolished slavery? First nation in the world to abolish it. It was started by William Wilberforce, was the British. In Great Britain, they abolished slavery. The African kings were rounding up their own people. They had them on cages, waiting in the beaches. No one was running into Africa to get them. And I think you're totally right. If reparations need to be paid, we need to go right back to the beginning of that supply chain and say, who was rounding up their own people and having them handcuffed in cages? That's where they should start.
I mean, it's a fascinating and important point she makes here about how that, you know, there's also, it's often not talked about, but there were minorities that what we think of as minorities today who owned slaves.
Oh yeah.
There were actually the slave trade, the transatlantic slave trade, and also the role that Latin America played in it is something that gets very little time and coverage in the media for sure. But Clay, I mean, just, okay, so we're going to start doing this like we have a ledger. Like, okay, the Brits, so they made
are responsible
these,
for they, X percentage.
The X percentage. Yeah. Well, where does this come in, though? Because she also wanted to talk about the thousands of Brits who died on the high seas to end slavery. So I want to know. I mean, it's something I've asked before. So if I had ancestors who died fighting
In the Civil War,
do I get, like, credit for that? Or how do we actually do this? How do we deal with the fact that, you would know, you're the Civil War buff, total casualties in the Civil War were, I mean, deaths in the hundreds of thousands.
600,000, I believe, is the number of Union soldiers who died. I think I'm correct in this off the top of my head during the Civil War. One of them was one of my ancestors. I had, you know, northern and southern ancestors who fought on both sides of that war. So, yeah.
So, like, I mean, so how do we
they
gauge
their lives?
What is the price in blood that was paid to end slavery in the American Civil War? And then how does that affect reparations? I'm just wondering, you know, because she brings up, for example, with the Brits, thousands of men never made it home to their families to fight to end slavery on the high seas. That was their role in the British Navy, and they died in that pursuit. So are they exempted from these reparations? And also, who do the reparations go to exactly?
Yeah. No, the reparations argument is ridiculous. 620,000 total dead. Across Union and Confederate soldiers. So around 360,000 Union deaths reported, 258,000 Confederate deaths reported. So 360,000 Northern soldiers died. Many people listening to us right now would have an ancestor who died in the Civil War. I did, certainly fighting on the side of the North. Should there not be, you know,
But ancestors died in huge numbers on both sides of that conflict. And so you say, our nation paid a massive price in blood, by far the most casualties we have ever suffered in any conflict. Okay. So how does that get factored? This is why eventually this is just, it's very clear. This is about power. This is about who gets to determine who gets what now today. And it's certainly not about justice, because what does that even look like?
It's 100% true. And I just love Don Lemon getting dunked on there, because at the end he was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, he didn't even have a response to her historical knowledge. And what I appreciate her bringing up is no one ever mentions the fact that the people in Africa were initially enslaved by other African kings and then were sold to the people who engaged in the slave trade. But the slavery started in Africa, and no one ever wants to talk about that responsibility at all in the overall global slave marketplace.
And do we get any extra credit for those of us who had ancestors who fought to prevent the world from being enslaved by the Nazis? You know,
seems like kind of a big deal.
I think that's kind of a big deal too. You know, so do we get credit for that, or is it just no? It's all okay. Yeah,
I think everyone's seeing here. You get like a little different check boxes along the way to find out how much responsibility you actually have.
I mean, and this is the other part of it too. I mean, I wonder for people who have a mixed ethnic heritage. So do they get the check, but then they have to send the check back, or how does that work if you're doing reparations from the British Empire from 500 years ago? You know what I mean? It doesn't make
it's totally absurdly illogical. And also, it doesn't even consider that the entire rationale for affirmative action, which has now existed for 70 some odd years in this country almost, was predicated on what? Redress for past grievance, which is a form of reparations that has been ongoing for generations now in this country, and by the way, needs to end.
My friends, when you refinance your mortgage to access cash, you're borrowing against an appreciating asset. That asset is your home. It's a great place to raise a family and likely your biggest financial asset. So you're getting the funds you need now, and you can feel at ease knowing that equity is going to grow back. It really is a smart strategy if you want to pay off high interest debt faster or fund major home improvements. Just be sure to work with our friends at American Financing, because they're going to take care of you. Believe me, I know. I've been through the process with them. American Financing is my mortgage company. And when I say it's no pressure as a lending experience, I mean it. Here's how it works. You make the 10-minute phone call to 800-777-8109. They'll give you a free mortgage review where they look at your current loan terms, any high interest debt you have, your home equity levels, and then they provide custom options that may fit your budget better. If you like what you hear, you can pre-qualify for free. That's right, no upfront or hidden fees. It's free, and you could close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109, or visit AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Speaking truth and having fun. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D. The number one fantasy sports app in America right now is PrizePicks. No surprise. PrizePicks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. I'm loving the app. Unlike other apps on the PrizePicks app, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports that you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, and that's more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on PrizePicks with as little as 4 picks. It's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states. Now, Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app today and open your account. You can use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code Clay to get set up and get that deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We roll through the Wednesday edition of the program. And as always, want to encourage you to go subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a moment. Let's take a couple of calls here right now. Let's see. Superior, Washington. You think
Wisconsin.
That now... So Superior, Wisconsin. I apologize. You think that this is a huge Christmas present to Merrick Garland?
Yeah, Paul, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you know, it is. What better out for Garland to say, look, guys, this is, has nothing to do with Mar-a-Lago, has nothing to do with January 6th. This was an independent state AG investigating crimes. They gave it to us. We were compelled to follow up on it. So here's your indictments. Don't blame us.
It is interesting. I don't know that criminal fraud cases over real estate holdings is really going. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't matter what the charges are against Trump because they're so fired up, Buck, about the idea that he's evil.
Just so everyone knows, there's always these things where, you know, I mean, I remember my grandparents dealing with this back in the day where, like, the town assessor said that your farm your house is worth X, and you say it's not worth that. I can't, you know, the value of real estate holdings, there's a lot of gray area there, and so people usually don't go to prison for it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, for anybody out there who's tried to get a mortgage refi, for instance, sometimes you get a bad version of what your house is worth because you got an idiot coming out who doesn't know the marketplace. Other times you get too much. There's a lot of gray area. In the meantime, we got time to save you money with some incredible footwear options. Sandal, slipper, slide, starting at under $30, thanks to our friend Mike Lindell at MyPillow. All three footwear options, super comfortable, made with the patented Impact Gel, breathable fabric. We wear them all throughout the house. And right now, you can try them out, see if it works for you. 60-day money-back guarantee, one-year warranty, slipper, slide, sandals. Again, $29.98 right now if you go online at MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener specials. Use the promo code Clay and Buck to get an incredible limited time offer. 1 year warranty, 60-day money back guarantee. MyPillow.com, promo code Clay and Buck. You can also call 800-792-3269. That's MyPillow code Clay and Buck.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. COVID is over. Oh, no, wait. Biden said it's over, but now they're telling us it's not over. His handlers.
He was just distracted by all the cars.
You know,
and
Detroit, shiny cars at the car show. That's what they were telling us. Who runs the country? Nobody really knows. Doesn't matter. A bunch of libs. But is COVID actually over? Well, it is and it's not. is actually the answer. It's over to rational, reasonable people, but there are still restrictions out there. They just fired 850 teachers in New York City for not getting a COVID shot that the private sector no longer has to worry about starting, I think, November. Who can make sense of all this? Oh, I know. Our friend Carol Markowitz from the New York Post, where she's an opinion columnist. She's got a piece out. Continuing COVID craziness shows it was never about the science. Carol, no, it was not. Tell everybody how we know this now more than ever.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
You know, how many of these pieces have I written and have been on to discuss, and yet we're still in this insanity in so many of these places. It's September 2022, and yesterday New York City lifted its private vaccine mandate, the vaccine mandate that was for private companies. And the rest of the country is like, wait, they had a vaccine mandate for private companies? It's such a baffling and backwards way of living, and it so disappoints me that more New Yorkers don't speak up about it.
Carol, you're in Florida now, and yeah, obviously the news today about Trump and the civil charges, but the mm-hmm. fact that there's still criminal allegations pending and everything else. DeSantis is going to win comfortably in 48 days re-election in Florida.
Yeah.
Do most Floridians that you talk to want DeSantis to run for president, or do they want him to stay as governor?
So it's interesting because I think that Floridians have a completely different consideration. It's not so much the Trump DeSantis thing down here. It's the, can we lose our governor? So it's like in the rest of the country, I feel like the conservative question is, which of these two guys do we want? Whereas in Florida, it's like, wait, we really don't want to lose our governor, even though everybody kind of think he would make an amazing presidential candidate. So ultimately, yeah, I think people like him and want him in higher office. I think they're concerned about what happens to their state. It's a really kind of perilous time, they feel, and it can go either way. Like, the state has been trending red, and it's been pretty deep red in the last few years. But, you know, anything could happen. DeSantis only won by a very small margin the last time. So a lot of affection for the governor, I would say, down here.
We're speaking to Carol Markowitz, New York Post columnist. Carol, crime is one of the big issues that Democrats mm-hmm. know. They got a real problem with the public because the crime numbers are terrible. And when you look at this as an increase, you know, people say, oh, it was worse in the 90s. Yeah, well, that was 30 years ago. So when you look right. at a not just a 30 or 40, 50% increase, mm-hmm. some places have had shootings, homicides increase 100%, 150%. But you share this story. I know it was written, I think, by somebody else about the Park Slope Panthers. Can you just tell everybody a little bit about the park? Because you used to live in Park Slope in New York City. What do people need to know about this neighborhood watch group that apparently couldn't get past whether to call people crazy or neurodivergent when they were right. throwing bottles at old ladies?
So Park Slope is an insane place. But for a long time, it was a really beautiful, very, very safe place to be. And growing up in New York City, Park Slope was the dream, especially for somebody growing up in Brooklyn. It was actually the dream. But what's happened in the last few years is it's gone from liberal to leftist, and it has really lost the plot. This story by Susie Weiss on Barry Weiss's Common Sense page was about a group that had formed because a homeless person had killed somebody's dog. And that finally moved Park Slopers to say, we have to start taking this crime thing more seriously. It's finally here. It's happening now. And you know, I should side note to this. In 2020, when people were saying, oh, crime is getting bad, all the people in Park Slope were saying, that's very racist to say, actually. And we shouldn't be talking about crime getting yep. bad because, you know. And so it wasn't really affecting them, but now it is. And this group formed, and it's a hilarious story. It really made my day. It was so funny and so well written. I don't know that it was supposed to be funny necessarily, but it was amazing. And how these teenagers came up to them and said that they should be checking their privilege. And of course, these teenagers live in Park Slope, grew up in Park Slope, are the most privileged people possible, etc. Highly recommend the story.
So, Carol, in 2021, suburban moms said, we've had enough. And they went and they got Glenn Youngkin elected in Virginia and nearly flipped New Jersey. I mean, that's how much of a red wave we saw in that first year after the Biden administration. What do you think we're going to see in 48 days? How are those suburban moms going to react? How much did abortion change the political calculus in your mind in terms of those suburban mom decisions? And the reason why I'm pointing out suburban moms in particular is there's lots of people who know, we know how they're going to vote. That was the sort of the impetus, the charge that changed things in 21. How are these moms going to vote in your mind in 22?
I still think that that demographic is fired up and really wants to go to the ballot box and punish the people who had kept schools closed for as long as they did, kept their kids masked for as long as they did, kept them in the vaccine mandates for as long as they did. I think that that demographic block is still very significant. The problem is that I don't see Republican candidates speaking to that block in the same way that Glenn Youngkin did. Glenn Youngkin made himself the education guy, and that is so powerful. It's not just these issues that we're dealing with right now. Education on so many different levels has just collapsed in cities all across the country. And I think that that candidates that can speak to these concerns, collapsing standards, merit, removal of merit-based anything, all of this is very important to parents, and I just don't see the same kind of Republican contact to these people. I think that a lot of these people are still fired up on their own, but it would be best if the Republican Party could maybe craft some messaging around this, target this demographic specifically, because I think that they want to vote, they want to be courted, and the Republican Party should do that.
You know, Carol, also on the issue of transgender indoctrination and now even surgery for youth, I do think that Republicans, look, I just think this is a critical moral issue. I think this is about truly defending children and saving them from making life-destroying decisions because there's a, this is fashionable on the left now. A lot of this stuff has become just, it's fashionable to push this and tell kids and, you know, change your pronouns and change your name and have your breasts cut off if you're female. All this stuff that's going on. And one thing that I just find is, on the one hand, you know, we'll see, let's say, like a drag queen story hour with children there and or drag show with children there. And the left will say, oh, it's bigoted. It's, you know, why are you pointing this out? This isn't and then a few weeks later, there's another one. And then how hard is it for them to not do this? I mean, it really does seem like, whether it's pornographic books in schools for children or highly inappropriate sexualized shows for children, the left doesn't want to give this up.
Yeah, I fully agree. And the fact that they are having these kids keep secrets from their parents, I think that would be such a powerful line for parents to understand, that it's not just that your kid is using a different pronoun in school, it's that they're encouraged to keep that a secret from you. And I've said this before, but, you know, when in New York City, my preteen daughter had so many kids in her class declare themselves trans. It really was like a contagion, and it was only happening among girls, and it was happening at such a clip that it couldn't possibly be. Like, there just aren't this many trans people in the world, let alone in one sixth grade class. So I think that parents have to be kind of more aware of what's happening in their schools and what their rights are. And again, this could be something that the Republican Party speaks to these parents about, which I don't think that they're doing that great. I think that they could say, like, you know, we all want to be sympathetic to kids who feel, you know, the wrong, that they're born in the wrong gender or whatever. But the way that we handle this isn't to let, you know, secrets be kept from parents at school, or to let them have hormones or any of this. And I think that there's a great way to make parents understand what the problem is.
Carol, Buck's been making fun of me for 10 days now because I care about the British royal family and pay a lot of attention to all the drama and everything else. And, you know, 10 million people watch the funeral, and he confessed that his fiance is also in my camp and agrees that all the palace intrigue is fantastic. Are you team Buck in that no one should care in America about the royal family, or team Clay in that maybe you agree with that, but you also desperately pay attention to all of the drama?
No, I don't pay attention to all the drama, but the New York Post is obviously pretty into the whole, you know, royal family thing. It's a major topic at the Post. So I read the Post coverage, you know. I didn't watch any of the funeral. I lived in Scotland, which should maybe say that I, you know, would be more interested in the royal family, but nobody is less interested in the royal family than Scottish people. So
I got to move to Scotland, apparently.
Edinburgh is an amazing town. Where did you live in Scotland?
In the north, in a small town called Forest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm putting you down in camp in Team Clay on the Royal Family.
I think that counts.
That's a win for me.
Thanks. Carol Markowitz, New York Post. Go read her stuff. She's brilliant. Carol, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
All right, friends. Do you remember the TV show The McLaughlin Report? It was an old school example of how Americans argued about which policies to pursue to improve the great country that we love. No one argued about the value of freedom in America or how great the country was. Everyone just knew that was a given. But today, you put a show like that on TV and the debate would turn into whether we should love America or be ashamed of it. The reason for this is simple. For too many years, too many of our schools have been neglecting to teach young Americans about America's great heritage of liberty, presenting them instead with a dishonest narrative of America as fundamentally unjust. Hillsdale College is weighing in for America by offering free online courses such as The Great American Story, A Land of Hope, and Constitution 101. Enroll in one of these free courses, they're amazing, from Hillsdale. And even better, encourage your friends and family to sign up too. Begin your free Hillsdale College course today at clayandbuck4hillsdale.com. That's clayandbuck4hillsdale.com.
Keeping it real. Keeping it honest. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Welcome. Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We tease The View. They're back from their summer break. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Encourage you to go subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a single moment. Our thanks to Carol Markowitz from the New York Post who just joined us. The View, I guess they take off like a long summer vacation. They're back for the fall television season. And it took no time at all for them to get embroiled yet again in further evidence of how insanely stupid these people are on the show. This time, it was Sonny Hostin who was going after Alyssa Farah, who is the new conservative member of the panel.
Well, she was going after Nikki Haley.
Yeah, right.
Alyssa Farah.
I think Alyssa was saying something positive about Nikki Haley, and then it turned into an attack on Nikki Haley. I think we have the audio. Let's play it.
Nikki Haley was incredibly effective governor of South Carolina.
There are some of us that can be chameleons and decide not to embrace our ethnicity so that we can pass.
I don't think that's fair.
You go by a different name.
Yeah, I didn't want to be the one to say it. But most Americans can't pronounce Asuncion because of the undereducation.
Okay, this is amazing. Because there's a little crosstalk there. Can we just... So there you have Sonny Hostin calling out Nikki Haley, basically calling her like a fake. She says she's, chameleon. She changes with whatever she needs. Nikki Haley, N-I-K-K-I. Nikki is her middle name on her birth certificate. But the even funnier part of this is that Sonny Hostin's name, and it kind of came out there, is Asuncion.
So she has changed her name to be easier to pronounce while criticizing someone else. And Nikki Haley fired back, sharing this clip. Thanks for your concern at Sonny. It's racist of you to judge my name. Nikki is an Indian name and is on my birth certificate, and I'm proud of that. What's sad is the left's hypocrisy towards conservative minorities. By the way, last I checked, Sonny isn't your birth name. Boom. That was Nikki Haley on Twitter responding to the comments.
So Sonny is a nickname. It's not even, that's, she just came up, that's like what she decided. Asuncion, she says now, is Sonny. But a lot of people, I go by middle name, you go by middle name, right?
Yeah, I've always been, I'm Richard Clay Travis is my full name. I was
Richard,
named after my two.
You don't look like a Richard.
I was named after my two grandfathers, and my mom always thought, or decided, Clay Richard did not sound as good as Richard Clay Travis. Not that uncommon. I've got three first names, but it's not that uncommon for people in the South in particular to go by their middle name. I've always been Clay.
I get heat. If people give you heat on the internet, stuff all the time. They're like, you're from New York City. Why is your name Buck? Well, because my grandfather is from South Dakota, and my grandmother is from Virginia. And they like the name, there's a family history of usage of the name Buck.
There you go. And New York City,
not a lot of Buck running around New York City. But
there's also not a lot of people who are like you, born and raised their whole lives in New York City.
Yeah, there's a lot of us. We just, a lot of people move here. So everyone assumes that everyone's a transplant in New York City. But what you do get, you get a lot of people.
Kids, you grew up legitimately in Manhattan. A lot of people move out when they have kids, right? They move out to the suburbs, Long Island. They move out to Westchester, all those places.
Think about it this way. It's the largest public school system in the entire country. So, there's obviously a ton of kids here. But for whatever reason, people have this perception that of the 8.5 million people, everyone just like arrived from somewhere
else. Well, it's the Sex and the City impression, right? Like everybody just comes in there to hang out and have a job in their 20s and run around and have a good time.
It's funny. I was just talking to a friend of mine recently about how we both agree that Sex and the City was so toxic for a generation of young women. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. And I, oh, yes.
I think it was great for a generation of young men.
Well, that's a very different approach.
Yeah. I've got three boys. I don't have a daughter. So I look around and say, man, you used to have to work so hard to get girls back in the day. I mean, now you got to get on a dating app, and next thing you know, you got 20 girls begging for you to take them out.
Sex in the City was like a how not to guide for young women to be happy in New York City. I can tell you that much.
It also created, I think, a massive imbalance where there's far more young, successful women of that generation in New York City than there are men, right? Like, I think that it's not only that it's the men are in so much better
position. Well, this is where we need JP, we need Jordan Peterson, the dominance hierarchy. You know, we got to start talking about, it's like, no, why are you going to be providing for a family when the woman's provide? No, look at this man, really, you know?
That's a pretty great Jordan Peterson.
Well, you know, thank you, sir. There's a man of many talents over here.
Yeah, I look around and I think, man, I'm not sure it's ever been a better time. The feminists are all like, oh, women are so free. And then
look at Adam Levine, this guy. He's married to a Victoria's Secret supermodel. And the guy can't stay out of the DMs. I mean, you know, that's just not just the DMs. The guy's all over the place. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Maroon 5? I don't know if this audience is.
You won't follow the royal family, but you know about Adam Levine's marital strife.
It was at the top of the Daily Mail.
I know exactly what you're talking about. If you're a famous dude and you are married, I don't even know why you would send a DM at all to a single woman.
I'm team Priyata Brinsloo.
Ooh, that's a messy situation to be in.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget.
Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young kids, builds specially adapted smart homes for severely injured veterans, and is working to eradicate veteran homelessness.
David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He has never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of his first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor.
Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T2T.org.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs.
That can be a lot of money, but are your bills even accurate?
It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com.